to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
Glory. Praise the Lord. You might say, well, those people laughing, they must be having a good year. You know, it could be that they're having an awful time in the natural, but they're in faith.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. So, yeah, we just walk by faith, don't we? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 4 tonight. 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. Amen. I want to read something with you. If you turn there, we'll all read it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Hallelujah. You know, if you respond right, the worst of times can be the best of times. Yeah, you can tap into God's presence and power in ways. You know, if the devil is going to push you or force you into anything, make him push you into the Word. Into acting on it more, into doing it more. Really, he's trying to push you out of the things of God, but turn it around on him and make him push you into the Word. In other words, you say, I'm going to respond by going further into the Word, being more of a doer of the Word, and make you eat it that you pushed me. Yeah. You pushed me, and so I'm going to make you eat it that you pushed me. Amen. So just turn it around on him. Yeah, it won't take him too long. He'll learn. Don't push on them. Because what usually works to push people out of the things of God, they're using it as momentum to push them into the Word of God. Wow. Yeah, and you make him eat it. Yeah. Like somebody said, yeah, like somebody said, you stuff the Word in his pipe and make him smoke it. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. Praise the Lord. Verse number 20. Did you find it? We've had testimonies right here on this platform this year of people's income that tripled this year. Someone said, I must not have been here. Well, you should have been here. And if you were, you shouldn't have forgot.
Come on.
That God's power is at work in our congregation. Yeah. People are learning to tap into it. And that's just one of the testimonies. Hallelujah. But 1 Corinthians 4, verse number 20 said, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. The kingdom of God. Are we in the kingdom of God?
Yes, sir.
He said, in fact, other translations I think are just awesome on this. Listen to the Amplified. The kingdom of God consists of and is based on not talk, but power. Not talk. Living Bible says it's not just talking, it is living by God's power.
Amen.
New Living Translation, not just a lot of talk. I like that. It's just not a bunch of hot air here. When you hear us speaking and praising God and speaking the Word and talking about the things of God and and what God's done for us and all that in Christ. It's not just a bunch of talk. Not a bunch of hot air. New Living Translation, it's not just a lot of talk. It's living by God's power. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. Here's my favorite. The Message says it's an empowered life. It's an empowered life. He's talking about power to rule. He's talking about power to prevail over things. He's talking about power to live in victory. Hallelujah. Live in victory over sin or anything that seeks to bind us. Hallelujah. Over temptation, victory over bondage, fear, poverty, strife, depression, you know, the flesh, even death itself. Yeah, we've had testimonies of people that should have been taken out, should have been snuffed out. And because they were living an empowered life, they're here, they're well, they're safe, they're sound. How many years ago was that? You all had that the guy pull over and hit you guys head on at, what, 50, 60 mile an hour or something? Huh? 15 years ago. Should have been. The other guy was killed, wasn't he? Should have been. I mean, it was a head on. It was just one of those two-lane roads, I believe it was. He came over in the other lane. Was he drunk? I think he was drunk or something. They weren't sure. But wham, hit them head on. I mean, it should have been over. I mean, in the not should have been because of the will of God. I'm talking about in the natural, it should have been over. But here they are. You know, some seatbelt whiplash or whatever they call that. Now, I think you had something happen to your foot or something. Or was it you? And but healed up quick. That's an empowered life. And we've had other testimonies like that. Well, you know, he's talking about living this way. We must have needed power to live the way God meant for us to live, or else he wouldn't have said there is this empowered life. We must have needed this. He wouldn't have given it to us. You can see also why so many people have so many things happen in their life then that don't go the way God wants them to, because they either don't know how that this power is available to them, or they haven't learned to tap into it. Amen. But go to Ephesians chapter number 1. Let's look a little bit further at this. I want to just talk about living an empowered life tonight. I don't believe in living the way the world lives. You know, all broke, busted, and disgusted, and weak, sick, and sorry. You know, there's a lot of things in the world that is a universal condition no matter what nation you go into. I mean, oppressed, depressed, poverty-stricken, bound up with sickness and disease, just because so many aren't living this empowered life. I just always, I don't know, I run into believers sometimes that they almost get irritated by me preaching victory all the time. But it's because they're so bound by the life of living in the flesh like the world that they have no vision for life being different. And if my preaching makes you disgusted, then let my preaching push you right into the Word. Get mad at living defeated rather than mad at me. So Ephesians 1, let's just start reading. This is the prayer Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. You can put your name in here and pray this over yourself, or claim this for yourself, or pray this for someone else. I've heard many of you tell me, who we taught you years ago, to do that. Many of you tell me you've been praying that for relatives and so forth, and they're coming out of darkness, they're coming out of confusion and fuzziness in their thinking. You know, they're like, I'm seeing things I've never seen before. You know, because you're praying this, the eyes of their understanding would be like they know what is the hope of his calling. Amen. What he expects out of bringing you out of darkness, calling you out of darkness. The hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then he said, what is the exceeding greatness of his power that's just out there in the nebulous? No, to usward. This power has a target. There was a day the target of the power of God was towards Jesus to raise him from the dead. But the target has changed because that has already been accomplished. It now has turned usward. The power, he wants us to know the power, the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. In other words, towards us who believe. Are you a believer tonight? Then you have a big target on you, and God's power is beep, 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 beep. Ah, it's locked in on you. The exceeding greatness of his power towards us work. It's directed in our direction. Whose direction? Towards those who believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that world which is to come. Put all things under his feet and so forth and so on. We'll get into that more as we go. But I wanted you to see here that God's power that raised Jesus from the dead was called the exceeding greatness of God's power. It was the greatest display of God's power ever. You might think creation was. The Bible says, no, this is. Not whenever the power went through Jesus to heal the sick, not when it split the Red Sea, not when the power multiplied the fish and the loaves in Jesus' ministry. That was power, all right. But that was not the exceeding greatness of God's power. The exceeding greatest display of God's power ever that we have ever had record of was when God raised Jesus from the dead. And that's what's directed towards us. Yes. Yes, sir. Amen. Hallelujah. It raised Jesus from the dead. And notice it said, let's read it again, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Notice, far above all principalities, powers, might, and dominion in every name that is named. If you read the scriptures carefully, those are the forces of darkness. Those are that's Satan's hordes and cohorts that tried to keep him from being raised from the dead. But all their combined forces, all their combined efforts, everything that they turned toward Jesus to keep him from being raised from the dead was not sufficient. It wasn't enough. It did not match the exceeding greatness of God's power that raised him from the dead. Wow. In other words, this power was the power that prevailed over all those forces of darkness that tried to keep him from being raised from the dead. And he said, that's the power that is directed towards you and me, those that believe. And what's it directed towards us to do? The same thing it did for Jesus. To enable us to prevail over everything that opposes us. I'm going to preach myself happy tonight. It's directed towards you and your life. And assigned it's looking, waiting on you to really put it to work, and I'll show you that in the scriptures in a while. It's there to put you to put it to work to cause you to prevail over everything that comes against you. To be raised, not only did this power raise Jesus from the dead, but whenever he came up out of there, it raised him up out of the dead, up from the dead, up out of hell. And first of all, he stopped by his body and it raised it from the dead. You realize that Jesus was our sacrifice, so he went to hell to pay the price for us. I know some believers have a lot of trouble with that. I can't believe that. Well, you got too many verses, against what you believe. If you believe he wasn't raised from the dead, you believe he didn't go to hell. The wages of sin is spiritual death, separation from God, and that includes going to hell. So if Jesus didn't pay that price for you, you're going to have to.
Come on, come on. Yep.
You will have to. And Jesus did pay that price. So it raised him from hell. All the forces of darkness down there trying to hold him from being raised from the dead could not prevail over the power of God that filled hell that day and raised him from the dead. It brought him up out of there, his spirit man, and it brought him by his body, and it was so strong it raised his body from the dead. And when Jesus came out of the grave, he then ascended up to heaven. That power was so strong, it kept moving him up, 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 up. And it raised him up and seated him at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Far above all the forces of darkness. Hallelujah. And so it raised him from death, and it kept him going on up. To sit at the right hand of the Father, which I like what somebody said one time, which was his rightful place all along. So it kept working in his life until it put him in his rightful place. It put him in that place that God said that this day have I begotten thee, and raised him up to sit at God's right hand and put him in his rightful place. His rightful place was not in hell. He never had sin. He was down there paying the price for our sin. His rightful place was to be glorified and seated by the Father. Isn't that right? And so the power of God that's God's power that's assigned to you. It's got you as its target, and it has an assignment, and that is to do for you what it did for Jesus. In other words, to cause you to prevail over everything that opposes you in life, in this life, not just the one to come, in this life, and to cause you to go into your rightful place. To live the way you were supposed to live. Oh, man. So, what is your rightful place? Blessed. Healed. Full. Provided for. Free. Hello. Sound mind. How many of you know the power of God will keep your mind right? And on and on and on. That's your rightful place. That's what Jesus died for you to have. The power that raised him from the dead was assigned to you to put you in your rightful place. Hallelujah. And this verse starts out, well, this actually not verse number 19 and 20, but if you go back to verse number 17, he's praying that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, will give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. That you may know. And he lists these three things, including that you may know the greatness of his power. Yes, he wants you and I to know this. Amen. I said he wants you and I to know this. Now, if you look at the Amplified, it says intimately. When the New Testament uses the word know, actually the whole Bible, when it uses the word know, to know God, or to know, to have revelation of the word or something like that, to know the things of God. You remember he said, like for example, back in the Old Testament, let me finish what I was going to say. To know in the Bible is much more intimate than just, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. For example, Ephesians 3:19, we're in the first chapter, but Ephesians 3:19 talks about that we would know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. The Amplified says, really come to know practically through experience for yourself the love of Christ which surpasses mere knowledge without experience. So when the Bible says to know, he wants us to know something, he's talking about having an experience. Having an experience. He wants us to experience the power of God. Amen. Amen. And it's an intimate thing. It's a very personal thing. The Bible uses the word know to refer to the sexual relationship with the husband and his wife. The Bible said that Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. That's talking about intimacy. You understand? So when he says he wants you to know it, he's talking about intimately, experientially, not just intellectually, not with a textbook knowledge, Not, you know, I heard about it. No, you're pointing to, here's my experience, here's my experience, here's my experience. I am living an empowered experience. This is working for me. It's working in my finances. It's working in my body. It's working in my mind. It's causing me to have favor. It's causing things to work for me that doesn't work for other people.
Amen. Yes,
sir. I got experience.
Yes, sir. Come on.
I said I got experience. And a guy with an experience is at the mercy of a guy with an argument. You can argue with me all day long. I really don't care what you think. I've got too many experiences. Too many experiences. Oh, thank you, Lord. Now, he said God wants us to know this. Tell your neighbor, he wants us to know this. He wants us to know the power is in our direction. And so what he's trying to tell us is that this works through knowledge. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. The word destroyed means cut off. In other words, cuts them off from the blessings of God. So what he's saying is, we have to know this for this power to work. If it was automatic, why would he say, I want you to know this? I want you to know this. And so what he's talking about is having a knowledge, knowing how God works, knowing how the power of God works. Because the lack of a knowledge opens the door to the enemy. What he's saying is God works through knowing things. Satan works through ignorance. You think about your life. The more you come out of ignorance and come into the knowledge of the things of God, the more God's power is working for you. But you can look back in your life, maybe before you came here to church, maybe you learned some things before you came here to church, wherever, but you can look back in your life and look before you knew God or knew the things of God or how God's power works or how God works. Back then, you were just living like the world. I mean, hoping it works out sometime, you know.
Come on. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
And but you came into knowledge, and it brought you into things working that weren't working for you before. Hey, you understand what I'm talking about? Now, notice he said in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. He didn't say they're destroyed because the devil opposes them. I'll tell you, the devil is not near as big and bad as people think he is. If people weren't ignorant, that just simply means lack knowledge. If they weren't ignorant of the things of God, Satan is not that big and bad. He really can't do much. You'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Great faith works by great knowledge. And I don't mean head knowledge, you understand. I'm talking about this personal, practical, intimate knowledge of the things of God. Amen? So this power works through knowledge. This verse is telling us how God works. So he wants us to know this. Satan takes advantage of people's ignorance. They don't know how they don't know that God's power is for them. They don't know that it's directed towards them. They don't know how to put it to work for them. Because they don't know it, it's not working for them. You understand what I'm talking about? So when this verse says that the power is to us who believe, it means it's at our disposal to draw upon for the needs that come up in life. It's at our disposal to draw upon, if you could say it that way. It's ever present. It's standing by. It's ready. It's waiting. It's ready to be released into activity and into movement by our faith. Why do I say by our faith? Because it's directed towards those who believe. It works for believers. Amen. Now, this power is exceeding. This power that's directed toward us is exceeding great power. To exceed means to go beyond something. If you're pouring water in a container of some kind, then it exceeds the volume of the container, that means it starts running over the top. And that's what God's power is. It's power that is more than enough. It's power that is always greater than whatever you need it to do. It always exceeds. It's always more than enough. It's always equal to the task and greater. It's never God's power and Satan's power is duking it out. You know, we're not sure who's going to win. Jesus said he cast out devils by the finger of God. If you read the Bible talks about the hand of God, talks about the arm of God, and it's always a reference to the power of God. And whenever Jesus said he cast out devils, he said he did it by the finger of God. In other words, I always think of it like this. Bing. God doesn't even have to get his hand in there. He doesn't have to get his arm in there. He just, bing. In other words, no contest. The devil's, and God's, bing. You know what? When you say in the name of Jesus, it's bing. Like a fly that got on you, bing. There's no big contest. This power is so much greater than the enemy. It's even embarrassing. It's embarrassing how defeated the devil is. Hallelujah. I like it. I like it. Tell your neighbor it's exceeding. It exceeds all other power. It exceeds demonic power. It exceeds human power. It exceeds mental power, physical power. It exceeds the devil's power. It exceeds everything. It exceeds the laws of nature. You might say, there's no natural way. Oh, you got something that's greater than natural. Praise the Lord. So it means to go beyond, the word exceeding means in the Greek, go beyond the limits or measure of. That's what I was talking about. If you have a container, has a certain volume to it, you keep pouring water in it. Whenever that water exceeds, it's more than the volume of that container. It goes beyond the limits. It goes beyond what it can contain. And that's the way God's power always is. It always goes beyond what you need it for. It's always greater. Always greater. Amen. It's superior. It surpasses anything else. It's more than sufficient. There's no limit to it. Other powers have limits to it. God's power has no limit to it. It knows no equal, in other words. There's no competition in the universe. It's superior. It surpasses all that. It's up to the task. It's up to whatever you need it for. Somebody say, I just can't accomplish this in my life. Listen, there's something, you were never intended to accomplish all those things in your life. The reason people wear out is because they're trying to accomplish what they were never intended to accomplish. Power was intended to accomplish it. I'm just so worn out. Why? It's because you're trying to do it all. God's power was intended to do some things. Hallelujah. And it's up to the task. If you're not, God's power is always up to the task. Amen. And it's directed towards you. When the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, the Bible said there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. A word you need to catch in there is cloven. That means divided up or split up. In other words, it came out of heaven as a ball of fire, but it divided up to everybody. In other words, in the Old Testament, the power of God was only in one place. In the New Testament, it's in you, it's in you, it's in you, it's in you, it's you, 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 you. It's available to every one of us. Praise the Lord. You don't have to come to church to get it. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's not just in one place today. It's divided up. Amen. And it's the exceeding greatness of his power. So it's greater than anything that opposes it. If there is the greatness of God's power, then there has to be something that is lesser. Everything else is lesser. What is opposing you is less. The poverty that keeps trying to dog you, that's a little wee thing compared to the power of God. Somebody said, well, it just seems like it's so powerful. Well, then that just simply means you have to learn more about how to put God's power to work. Maybe God's power is working for you, but just a little wee trickle. God's power can be put to work for you and I by degrees. I don't know if you've ever thought about it. In John 4:52, the Bible talks about the man who began to amend from that hour. The power of God. Jesus said, go your way, your son liveth. The Bible said he began to amend from that hour, John 4:52. You ever thought about that? So what we see then is things can happen in our lives by degrees, by how much of this power that we put into action. Amen. Go over to the third chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians 3. Let's look at verse number 19. He wants us to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, so that we'll be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Notice how things happen in our lives. According to the power that worketh in us. Somebody said, God can do exceeding abundantly. That's absolutely right. But it's only going to work according to our ability to put the power of God to action.
All right. That's good. That's good.
And that's something we learn to do. We don't know how to do that just because we got saved. We learn to do that by really what puts it in action is faith. Just like electricity is in the walls of your house, when you go home tonight after service, you're going to probably walk in, unless you left the light on, you're going to probably walk into a dark house. When you walk in, is the first thing you think about calling the power company and telling them, there's no power down here, you need to send some power? Is that the first thing? None of you ever think that. You go, the first thing you think is, I got to turn the lights on. You go over and flip the switch. Why? Because the power's in the walls. The power's there. Isn't that right? But all you just know, you have to, there's laws that govern the operation of that power. And you just know that the reason it's not flowing to the lights is because you've turned that switch off, which breaks a contact with the wire that goes from that switch to the light. And therefore, power won't jump across that gap. It has to be in contact. And you know the laws that govern power. And so you just flip the switch. You hardly even think about it anymore. You're so used to the law. You just flip the switch on, and you fully expect light. Right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, there's laws that govern God's power just like that.
Amen.
And the law that governs God's power is faith. That's faith is what governs God's power.
Amen.
Amen. So don't call up God when you're needing a miracle and say, I don't know why there's not power down here. Send the power. Send the power. Oh, God, send the power. He's going to say, I did on the day of Pentecost. And when you were born again, it came into you. Amen. He's saying, flip the switch, flip the switch, flip the switch. Oh, God, send the power, flip the switch. How many of you know so many times people that are praying, send the power, they ought to be saying, well, I just need to stir up the gift of God that's already in me. Because that power is in me. I need to fan the flame. I need to stir it up. Praise the Lord. And so the Amplified brings out that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think according to or in consequence of the action of his power. The action of his power. So here's something that we learn then out of this verse. Power, the power of God, can flow by degrees, number one. It must be flow by degrees because what happened in the resurrection was the exceeding greatness of his power. God's power has been displayed through history many times in many different ways. The splitting of the Red Sea, the manna out of the sky. I mean, over and over, that's God's power. That's all God's power. But that was not the exceeding greatness. That's just a lesser degree of power. Amen. So it can be displayed by degrees, but also, or work, it can flow by degrees. Or also, this verse brings up something, the Amplified, the action of his power. In consequence of the action of his power. So, power can flow by degrees. It also can be dormant, or it can be active.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. It's just like electricity.
Yes, sir.
Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Edison, Tesla, some of those guys, they all found out the laws that govern electricity and became very knowledgeable of it. They found out they can contact it. Remember, they say Benjamin Franklin put that key on his kite string, and bzz, oh, I could attract that. Whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
it hit that key.
Yep, yep.
So they learned how to contact
yep,
it.
Yep, yep.
They also then learned how to channel it. It was on, you know, wires and stuff. They learned how to harness it. They learned how to store it. Now they store it in batteries in your cell phone. They learned how to direct it through wires to your toaster. It's going to go to your toaster. It's going to go to your cell phone when you plug it in. It's going to go to your lights. It's going to go to your refrigerator if it's electric. It's going to go to all these things in your house, your blow dryer. And they've learned how to direct this power and learned all the laws that govern it. Now it's a blessing to all of us.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
And because somebody learned the laws, all humanity is blessed by it. Well, God's power is the same way. There are laws that govern it. We need to be Holy Ghost research people and learn how to govern, learn how to harness it, contact it, store it, how to direct it, because God's power operates by laws.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
There's laws that governs God's power. And so if we'll do that, we'll not only see it working in our lives, but we'll also, like Tesla and all these guys, you know, Edison, they also blessed many other people's lives. How many of you want to get beyond yourself and bless other people? Bless other people.
Hallelujah.
Some coworker falls down and injures themselves. Hey, can I pray for you? Can I lay my hands on you? Someone said, well, I don't know if that'll work. You just watch. Because I'll tell you, God wants to show off and show out. Show off and show out. Amen. Hallelujah. So what we see then is power can flow by degrees. Power also can be dormant. Because here he says, the Amplified in Ephesians 3:20, the action of his power. Power can be present. But in fact, go over to Luke's gospel. Look at Luke's gospel, chapter number 5. Luke's gospel, chapter number 5. I started something there in John 4. I'll finish that. But John 4 is where I was talking about he began to amend from that hour. I'll get back to that in a minute. But Luke, in chapter number 5, verse number 17, it came to pass on a certain day when he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Notice there was power present. In healing school, I wanted to understand what the Greek was really saying about this, and I looked this up, and the Greek actually says there was power there present with him. There present with him. And so this power, yes, we know it was on him, but the way it was stated, it was hanging in the room. Because this is stated a little different than normal. But there was power there present with him. But notice, they brought none of them, if you read this whole story, it says the doctors of the law and Pharisees were there. If you read this whole story, none of them got healed. None of them. The power was present to heal who? Who's them? Somebody said the man on the bed. No, he wasn't even there yet. It was the next verse that they started letting him into the room. But before he was in the room, the power was there present with him to heal them doctors of the law and Pharisees. Someone said, well, maybe none of them needed it. Well, let me ask you a question. Religious, critical people who oppose the power of God, they're usually sick. That's what these guys were. They were the religious people of the day. So they were there. If it was there to heal them and them didn't need healing, then why was it there to heal them? So they needed healing. It was there. The power was present to heal them. Isn't that right? But none of them got healed. So this is not automatic, is it? There's a difference between power being present and power being in manifestation. It goes on to say, verse number 18, behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him, but they could find no way. And remember, they let him down through the roof, tore off the roof into the midst before Jesus. Verse 20, and when he saw their faith, there's the key. There is plural, so there would be the men who let him down as well as the man on the bed. He saw their faith. Hallelujah. And he said unto him, when he saw their faith, he said unto the man, in other words, on the bed, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. And they were all upset about that. Who can forgive sins but God alone? In other words, who do you think you are, God in the flesh or something? When Jesus perceived our thoughts, he answered, said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether it's either to say, sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk with it. You may know that the power, that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up his that whereon he laid, and he departed to his own house, glorified God. And they were all amazed, said, we have seen strange things today. Strange things today. These were the sticklers for the word people of their day in the Old Testament, and they were thinking strange. Sickness, healing and forgiveness go together. That's strange. It shouldn't have been strange. Who forgiveth? It's in there all through their Old Testament. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, heals all thy diseases. You see the Bible in the Old Testament talking about that over and over again, that forgiveness and healing go together. It's a package deal. Shouldn't have been strange. But see, religious people, they read their Bible and they don't really see it. But here's what I wanted you to see. This power was present, but it was in manifestation until something gave action to it. And we see exactly what it was. It was the man's faith. These people, these men that let him down, they saw their faith. They had faith too, but their faith could only bring him into that presence. Their faith could not take him any further. Because of their faith, they took him to a healing meeting. Because of your faith, you'll bring people here to church that need healing. Not bringing the sick to church is an indication of no faith. I'm just reading your Bible. All right, maybe you didn't. Bring people. Somebody said, we haven't seen many miracles. Well, there's not many people that need it. Y'all getting pretty patched up. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. Some of you that are still being patched, praise the Lord. Every now and then I need a patch. I get it. Power. Okay, thank you, Jesus. But my point is, they brought this man into that presence, but they could not use their faith to receive his healing for him. They brought him so far, but then on it was between Jesus and the man. And the man said, turn to him, I got it from here. Jesus said, take up your bed. Here's my chance to act on my faith. It was his faith that let him take him up on the roof and put him down through there. He wouldn't have done that if he didn't have faith. But here's what I want you to see. That power was present, but it wasn't in manifestation until something gave it action. Also, from John 4:52, Jesus said he ministered to someone, and he began to mend from that hour. From that hour, he began to amend. So, that in that case, the power of God wasn't flowing strong enough to do it very quickly. You understand what I'm talking about? There wasn't enough power flowing in that case to do it instantly. It took longer. He began to amend. That means a process. You understand? It doesn't take power long, but sometimes we receive over time because our faith takes hold of our healing gradually. Now somebody said, are you criticizing that? Hey. If that's the case, it sure beats giving up, don't beat yourself up about it, because you can get it that way. I've gotten it that way before. It sure beats no power working at all, and things going south, you know. Things going the other direction. But just know that this is the kind of faith that just gets it to trickle in, and eventually it'll cause the restoration. That's great. That's fine. It beats where we were.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
anybody making progress in this? But that doesn't mean that it took that power long. That's right. Amen. You understand what I'm talking about? In Mark 8, verse 22, Jesus laid hands on a man twice. He said, look up. What do you see? He said, I see men as trees walking. That's in Mark 8, 22. I see men. Well, that's around that verse is where he laid hands on him twice. What do you see? I see men as trees walking. Then he laid hands on him again and said, now he said, I see every man clearly. Yeah. Well, that's power. Yeah. Somebody said, that wasn't power. He could just see trees. No, before, he couldn't see at all. So some kind of power started something here. It started it, but it didn't finish it. Isn't that right? Well, then Jesus ministered to him again, and the power finished it. Well, what are we saying? What are we saying is he laid hands on him twice because the power was only flowing by degrees. And Jesus wasn't controlling that. People thought Jesus was controlling the power to heal the sick whenever he walked the earth, but the woman with the issue of blood proved that wrong. Because the Bible said she heard of Jesus, came and touched the hem of his garment, for she said, if I may touch but the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. And she came and she touched, and the Bible says immediately she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague, and Jesus immediately, knowing that virtue, that's the Greek word for power, had gone out of him. Notice the word had. The power, he immediately knowing that power had gone out of him. In other words, by the time he knew it, it had already gone out. So he wasn't controlling it. Some of you are thinking about it. He wasn't controlling it. If he would have been controlling it, then it would have said, Jesus immediately knowing that power was trying to go out of him, said, okay, go ahead and go out. But it said by the time it had flowed out, by the time, let's put it this way, by the time he knew it, it had already flown out. And Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? See, he didn't know who it was. He just knew that it had just happened. How did he know it? He knew it within himself. The Bible said within. He knew it in his spirit. He didn't feel it. That power is tangible. It can be felt sometimes. But if you don't feel it, doesn't mean it didn't go out.
That's right. Yes, sir.
The woman immediately knowing that she felt in her body, that she was healed of that plague. That's the way it says there in Mark chapter number 5. She felt it. The power is tangible. You can feel it sometimes. It is a materiality. It has substance to it. Sometimes you see people shaking when they're getting contact with it. I'm not talking about making something up. Some people make something up. I'm not into making something up. But some people, they do get in contact with it. They just start shaking.
Yes, sir.
That's power.
Amen. Power.
You can feel it sometimes, but you don't have to feel it. You can mix faith with it without feeling a thing.
That's right. Amen.
Because sometimes you cannot feel it. I've gone through healing now. I remember the very first time I laid hands on the sick with a tangible healing anointing. I didn't feel a thing. Not a thing. Except for oily hair under my hand. That's all I felt. Didn't feel a thing. But a lady was completely healed of lupus. She never felt a thing. She told me about 2 weeks later, we were in a Brother Hagin's, Winter Bible Seminar, and the Holy Ghost was moving, and people got drunk on the Holy Ghost. People were laughing and running the aisles. And after the service was dismissed, everybody's still drunk trying to get out of the building, and I'm taking one pew at a time trying to get out of the building. And somebody from, the auditorium is quite large. You've ever been to Rhema. Somebody from halfway across the auditorium said, Brother Jay, they're drunk too. And they're waving like, hey, It took me a long time to get over there, but it was this lady. She said, I'm completely healed of lupus.
Praise God. Praise God.
And I didn't feel a thing.
All right. Come on.
How many of you know we got to mix faith with it, and faith doesn't need to feel something. And I can tell you many other testimonies along that line. But what I'm saying is, the power had already gone out. Jesus wasn't controlling that. The spiritual law of faith is what was controlling that. Because the disciples turned around and said, well, why do you ask who's touched you? Because there's many people touching you. Jesus said, no, somebody touched me with faith. Because he said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Now, if you didn't understand the word of God, how things work, you just thought, Jesus, you made a mistake there. It wasn't her faith that made her whole. It was the power that flowed out. You just said power flowed out of you. So you should have said, my power made you whole. But Jesus said, no, there was many people touching me, I guess, to try to see if power would flow.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And because they didn't do it in faith, no power flowed. But it was the person that touched. I'm enjoying this. This is fun. This is reminding me of healing school days. But that because somebody touched in faith, that faith is a spiritual law that causes power to flow. God's power doesn't flow on, just like electricity doesn't flow on a rubber band or a board or, carpet or something like that. It flows on metal like copper and like we put in wire. And so the power of God's the same thing. There's some things it won't flow on. It won't flow on wishing. It won't flow on hoping. It won't flow on, I'm going to try this and see if it works. It won't flow on emotionalism. Like, Jesus, It won't flow on that. In fact, to be honest with you, some of those people, they shut the power of God down. It won't flow on doubt. It won't flow on unbelief. It won't flow on worry. I got to get it quick or else. If I don't get it quick, we're going to die, That won't flow on that. It flows on faith. Hallelujah. And the degree of faith, Brother Hagin made this statement. You ought to hear this statement. It helped me greatly in the healing ministry and ministering to people with God's healing power. He said, healing is by degree based on two conditions. Number one, the degree of power that flowed. The degree of power that flowed. And number two, the degree of faith that's mixed with that power. Amen. Based on the degree of power ministered or the degree of power that flowed and the degree of faith that's mixed with that power. Some people live defeated because they don't keep much power active. They don't get filled regularly. They don't go to the filling station and get filled up again. We've been preaching about, daily being recharged and, they that wait on the Lord, renew their strength. If you'll do that regularly, you'll constantly be energized and filled up with power. Remember the Bible said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You're going to have to do that regularly because you and I leak. We put out spiritual effort. We put out natural effort. We use up the power. Well, we got to take some more in. And it's very renewable. It's the most renewable energy on the planet.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. But what am I saying? It is based on, the power that flows is based on two conditions, based on the degree of power ministered or that flows and the degree of faith that's mixed with that power. I've known I'm stronger anointed in healing lines sometimes than other times. Then I know sometimes people's faith lays hold of it, sometimes people's faith doesn't lay hold of it. So that determines whether they're going to be, their body's going to recover or not. Or it determines how quickly it will recover. Like it said here, remember John 4:52, he began to amend from that hour. Amen. Hallelujah. So you're going to walk in your rightful place in life. I mean rightful, like healed, free, delivered, and all those things. Rightful place. You're going to walk in your rightful place in life by degree, the degree you know how to give action to God's power and keep it active. Hallelujah. It's going to be according to the power that works in you, not the power that's present in church services. Not the power that's present anywhere. It's the power that you keep working for you by knowing how to put it into action. Am I making any sense tonight? This power that raised Jesus from the dead can raise your finances from the dead. Amen. It can raise you your marriage from the dead. It can raise anything that you'll direct it towards from the dead. Hallelujah. This power is in you as a believer. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And knowledge enables you, say that out loud, knowledge enables you to assign this power. Hallelujah. You can draw on the greatness of God's power and assign it toward a direction. Just like we can take electricity, and in your house, you have wires that go to this outlet, that outlet, and you can plug something in there, and you assign that electricity to your blow dryer. Here's one. You assign it to your toaster. Here's a plug-in. You assign it to your refrigerator. You have learned how to assign that power. You take God's power, and by the knowledge of how this power works and the laws that govern it, you can assign it to your marriage, assign it to your brain, assign it to your physical body, assign some to your prosperity. Assign, just start assigning it. How do you assign it? By faith. By speaking. By speaking. By speaking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I did it. I preached myself happy. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, it not only raised Jesus from the dead, but it puts us in our rightful place. Now, in that rightful place that the power raised us when we were born again, it put us also at the right hand of the Father. Remember, he raised us together with him, seated us together with him at the rightful place at the right hand of the Father, far above all principalities and power. That's Ephesians 1, verses 19, 20, down and through there, 21, with Ephesians 2, 6, because it said he raised us up together, made us to sit together in heavenly places. That power did that. When you were born again, that power did that. Am I making any sense?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But that place is the place of authority. Listen to me very carefully. The Lord said to me years ago, there's further revelation coming of the authority of the believer.
Yes, sir.
And here's some revelation. There's three things I've begun to understand further about the authority of the believer that I haven't understood in years gone by. Here's one of them. That place of that power that seated you positionally, seated your spirit in a position of at the right hand of the Father with Jesus. That's that power that puts you there in a place, is that power puts you there in a place of authority. And that authority gives you the right to assign that power to any area that your life needs it. Amen? That's what you are authorized to do. This is an area of the authority of the believer that you and I need to understand. We are authorized to conduct God's power in the direction of life we need it.
Amen, amen, amen. Come on.
Amen. You can even do it in an area that's not God's perfect will. You don't want to. You want to go for God's perfect will. But God, in the Old Testament, he worked with Israel to get them a king. He anointed the king. He raised him up to help him fight their battles and everything. But God said it wasn't his perfect will.
All right.
But they said that's what we want.
Yeah. Come on.
Yep. Amen.
Amen.
You can get things by assigning the power that's not God's perfect will, just his good or acceptable. That's how authorized you are. I don't know if that might sink in eventually. But that's the authority you have. Now, this power is not only available to you. My goodness. I've been preaching awfully long lately. But it's not only just available to you in the new birth. Because the Bible says in, what is it, 1 Peter 1, 5, we're kept by the power of God through faith. So this power is not just for you in the new birth to recreate your spirit. It's to keep your whole life. It's to keep your body from falling apart. It's to keep your marriage from falling apart. It's to keep everything, your finances, keep everything from falling apart.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Hebrews 1:3 says he upholds all things by the word of his power.
Yes.
You can utter that word too.
Yep.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I remember getting busy. I think if I remember right, it was the remodel of this auditorium. Remember, we moved in here. And I don't remember if it was when we first moved in or it was whenever we redid all the carpet and repainted everything, remember? But one of those times, I want to say it was whenever we remodeled, after we had been in a while, remodeled it. One of those times, anyway, I got real busy with the remodel project and all the contractors that were here and everything. I was coming up here early every morning, which is fine. I can handle early mornings, but some of those mornings I wasn't getting my time with the Lord is what I'm saying. I wasn't taking the right time in the evenings or whenever I needed to stay filled up spiritually. And I kept on going and kept on going. And I hit a spot where I was knocked out. I think I was in bed for 2 days at least, maybe three if I remember right. I mean, I'd get out every now and then just to kind of hobble around. My back was so out. My you know, that, what is that, sciatic nerve or whatever you call that thing? That thing was hurting like fire. I could barely move. I mean, you lay on one side of your, you know, on one, in bed on one side just hoping, you know, hoping she doesn't, when my wife gets in bed, she doesn't bounce too hard because, like, ow, you know. That's how bad it was. Well, I'm saying, okay, Lord, because that's not normal for me. Maybe for some people, that's not normal for me. So I said, all right, Lord, what is it? What is it? And this is what he said to me. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Now, you can understand, because my mind was renewed, I understood it. Maybe some of you, I'll say this and you won't understand, but I'll say what he said. He said, it takes, this. He's very clear. It was almost audible. It takes more power to walk where you're walking now. That's what he said. I instantly knew what he meant. He wasn't saying, I knew because my mind was renewed. I knew he wasn't saying I should pray for more power. I knew it's already towards me. It's already directed towards me. It's waiting on me to assign it. He was saying you cannot afford to do things like you used to do it because of where you're walking in the spirit now. Because if the power is not active in your life, Satan will see that and he'll get in ways that. He's trying to get in ways in your life now because of where you're walking. He's trying to take you out. The further you go in God, you need to know that.
Yes, sir. That's good. That's good.
You can't live like you used to live. If you don't understand that now, get a hold of it because it'll make sense later. But he said it takes more power. In other words, you cannot afford to not be keeping it active now. Where you're walking now, you can't afford to not keep it active now. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I guard this a lot more than I used to guard it. Ephesians 5:18 says, be continually filled with the Holy Ghost. You remember that in Ephesians 6:10 where it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It literally in the Greek is the same play on words as in Ephesians 5:18. Be strong in the Lord. Be being strengthened. That's what the Greek actually says. Be being strengthened. In other words, continue to live being strengthened in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's where I missed it during that remodel project. That's real to me. I don't know how real that is to you. Well, somebody said, I just keep falling into temptation or pornography or something like that. Well, keep being strengthened. You can't afford not to have time with Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't just make Sunday and Wednesday your big hit days, you know. And then you go without being strengthened on your own. Hello. Make sure you're strengthened regularly. You can live equal to anything and ready for everything through him who infuses inner strength into you. Philippians 4:13 in the Amplified. You can be ready for anything. Temptation comes up again. Ha ha, I'm ready for you. I just spent my time getting filled up with the Holy Ghost again. Drinking in of the power that puts me over in life. Praise God. You remember in Acts 16, they brought the power down by singing praises to God, praying and singing praises to God. Paul and Silas were in jail. They did that, and the power fell, and it shook the whole jail. It didn't fall by complaining. It didn't fall by grumbling. It didn't fall by, you know, wishing, or it didn't fall by them being afraid and saying, what are we going to do now? It seems like the Lord's forgotten us. The Lord's left us. I don't know what we're going to do. No, it fell by faith. Learn to do that in your life. Learn to keep bringing the power down in the circumstances of life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's one area of the authority of the believer that you are authorized to assign the power of God to any and every situation that arises in your life. Amen. And bring that situation into harmony with God's will. I like that. Do you like that? Does that make more sense? Don't pray for power. Pray for boldness to keep acting on the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Well, I did it. I preached myself happy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You not only have access to God's power, but you have the authority to direct that power.
Amen.
You have the authority to direct that power. And so use that.
Amen.
God's waiting on you. You're not waiting on God. God's waiting on you. because that's the place of authority you have. You can live without it in manifestation. It can be present. In fact, you're the temple of it. It lives in you.
Amen.
Or you can put it into regular action, and life can be so much better. You like Pastor Nancy has said in the past, you know, whenever the power's out at your house, life becomes hard. Cooking becomes hard. Everything becomes hard. I mean, you don't have the blow dryer. And so she was saying one time, you can come. If the power's out on half the city and the other half of the church has power, the ones that come to church without power, you'll notice it when they come to church. Because they couldn't see to put their, the ladies couldn't see in the mirror to put their makeup on. They couldn't turn on their blow dryer. Oh, you're living without power. I see. Well, that's the way it is in Christians' lives. I mean, they're walking around with the greatest power in the universe living on the inside of them. And they're like, oh, I don't know why. I'm just so tired. I'm so weak. I'm so... It's in there, but it's dormant.
Yeah, come on.
Let's live full of it. What do you say? Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of that?
Yes, sir.
It's simple, not difficult, not complicated. But see, God, you know, if he was going to get it across to you and me, he could have made it complicated. But if he's going to get it across to you and me, he's got to keep it simple. Because we ain't that necessarily, you know, complicated. Amen. We know 2 + 2 = 4. And we know a few things like that. Amen. But listen, this is simple. God made it simple so we could all get it. Aren't you glad? Praise God. Praise God.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Eberle's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147, or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.